Hey, folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss, like, playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Today's show is brought to you by the Brothers Karamazov. Not the book, the actual brothers themselves.
They love Eric and wanted to support him, so they decided to sponsor the show.
Is that not amazing?
And Dostoevsky doesn't know a thing about it.
And he invented them.
Now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. That is all, I was going to say true, but the only problem is it's a lie. But you know what? Other than that, it is true. Folks, I got to tell you, for years, I have grown up in New York. I was born in Queens, spent a lot of time on Long Island with my cousins, the Serantonios, and I became fascinated with the Joey Buttafuoco case, the Long Island Lolita, that whole story. And I said, someday, I'm going to get that guy into the studio and interview him. And today, unfortunately, is not that day. I'm very disappointed to have Daniel Buttafuoco. Daniel, I'm sorry. I can't help you. You are somebody that I know. That's the only reason I could joke around with you. You are the other Buttafuoco. You're the one that I've heard on Christian radio for years. You're a lawyer, and you now have a book. And you know, if you know me, how excited I am about the subject of this book. It's called Consider the Evidence, A Trial Lawyer Examines Eyewitness Testimony in Defense of the Reliability of the New Testament. You have a foreword by Ravi Zacharias. The Ravi Zacharias?
Friend and a client.
A friend and a client. Well, okay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
I got to tell you, someday I'm going to get Joey Buttafuoco. I'm just telling you right now. I love the idea of apologetics and the fact that we can actually know logically whether the New Testament is true or not. How did you, I mean, you're a lawyer, but how did you get into this concept that you wanted to write on this subject? I mean, you got a lot of clients, you're busy. This is something else.
Well, you know, it's getting desperate out there when God is using trial lawyers to preach the gospel.
And name Buttafuoco. I mean, I'm sorry, but it is getting tough. It's getting very tough.
Well, this all started from a discussion I had at a cocktail party about 25 years ago with a fellow trial lawyer who was a defense lawyer on one of my cases. You know, we battle it out in court, and then behind the scenes, we're actually pretty friendly because it's not personal. It's like, you know, the fighters in the ring, after they beat each other senseless,
yeah,
they hug each other.
It's like Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan.
I guess in some ways, but
it's like Gorilla Monsoon and Haystacks Calhoun, right?
Well, yes, you're dating yourself now, but
yes, exactly. But, why not? Why not?
We had this debate. It was at a party, and it turned out that my buddy was an atheist. He's still a very good friend of mine, and we got into this discussion, and the party split in half right on his deck, with half of the people cheering me on as representing the Christian point of view, and the other half.
It's like the Lincoln-Douglas debates on a deck in Long Island.
Sort of, yeah, with a few other things going on, but I will tell you that I did leave that party very disappointed in my presentation, and I felt that while I knew I was a good lawyer, I'd won a lot of great cases, and I know how to talk, I know how to present evidence, I felt that I did a less than adequate job in presenting reasons for the gospel and reasons for the New Testament. So I embarked on a 25-year study. I ended up getting a master's degree in theology from Alliance Theological. I studied with Ravi. That's how I met Ravi.
I mean, seriously, though, you know, I was teasing you up front, but I mean, the fact that, you know, you're not just a lawyer, but I mean, you're a lawyer with clients like Ravi Zacharias. So obviously, you're an extraordinary lawyer. And so for you to admit that you had difficulty communicating what you believe, it's one of the reasons I want to have you on, because I think many of us feel inadequate, it's almost like we're really not sure what we believe exactly. And so we kind of grab on to scripture verses or something. But, you know, I want to ask you, how did you come to faith? I mean, you told me you grew up in the Bronx. You know, I grew up in Queens. Typically, people with ethnic last names like ours who grew up in those boroughs do not become serious about Jesus. When did that happen for you?
My earliest memories are of Jesus and the Bible because I grew up in a Italian Pentecostal family.
What?
So my great-grandmother had converted in the 30s. So I'm an oddball in the sense that I'm Italian. I've never been Catholic.
I wonder if you know my friend Joel Toucheron. I got a lot of friends that have mentioned to me Italian Pentecostal, and I go, what? Like, the idea that happened in New York is so cool. That's amazing.
Well, now you have the Spanish Pentecostal, Hispanic Pentecostal.
Well, no, that I expect.
Thing.
I expect the Spanish Pentecostal. I've seen, you know, those churches, but you're telling me you came to faith. That's pretty cool. That's amazing.
In the 40s, that was 40s and 50s. Yeah. It was the Italian slant on things in those days. And my grandfather was in the mafia, became a street preacher, and he was a very interesting guy. And my mother's side also, there was a lot of people, missionaries. So I grew up, in my earliest memories were about the Bible, about Jesus, going to church. We'd spend the whole day in church on Sunday from morning till night.
That's the Pentecostal way, you know. That, seriously, right? I know. I went to Times Square Church for many years, and, you know, like, it's just kind of it's kind of part of that culture, you know. Okay, so you went on this journey. You got a degree. Now you have a book called Consider the Evidence. A trial lawyer examines eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament. When you say eyewitness testimony, that grabs me because that's the lawyer talking. This is not science. It's not math. Talk to us about how determining the truth of what the Bible says is like eyewitness testimony that you get in a legal battle.
First of all, eyewitness testimony is super important because everything then hangs on the credibility of the witnesses. I've won important cases where I've only had one reliable and credible witness. And people have said things like, well, the Bible is only one witness. In actuality, that's not true. The Bible is 40 different authors written over a 1,500-year period. And they're from remarkably different backgrounds. You have shepherds and poets and priests and kings and doctors and prophets and fishermen. So it's a wide variety of diversity represented in the Bible. But specifically when it comes down to the New Testament, when you really read it with the eye of a trial lawyer, these accounts have the ring of veracity to them because of the way they read. For example, if you read the book of Acts, which is written by Luke, he'll say things like, we went here and we went there. And when he's absent from the adventure, he drops the we from the narrative and say something like, well, we then caught up with Paul in such and such a city. And so you get the sense that he's part of the adventure. But not only that, you have statements like from Peter who says, we're not followers of cleverly invented fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In First John 1:1, John writes, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have handled and touched, this we declare to you concerning the word of truth. So clearly these people were present when these events unfolded. And, you know, I could just keep going on, but the Bible, my friend, the guy I had the debate with, I'm still very close to him, and he said to me, he says, well, you know, I could believe their testimony if they had been cross-examined. And I said, really? Are you kidding? Cross-examined? I said, we ask people a few questions on the witness stand, they crumple like a cheap suit. I said, could you imagine if I approached a witness with an instrument of torture in my hands? It's not allowed, but if I could, I'd really get the truth out of them, because nobody's going to lie in the face of something like that. And every one of the apostles, pretty much except John, were crucified upside down, beaten, whipped, boiled in oil, you know, horrible things done to them, all of with the understanding that maybe they should recant. And none of them did, which sort of validates their testimony in a miraculous way, because nobody would die under those circumstances or allow that to happen for what they knew to be a lie.
It's interesting. My hero and ultimately my friend Chuck Colson used to talk about this very thing, not from the point of view of a trial lawyer, but he said that I was one of the conspirators in Watergate, and none of them could hang on to their story, not one. And here you have in the New Testament a dozen guys, none of them said, oh, it was a lie or whatever. I mean, it makes no sense to somebody who understands how that stuff works. Like when you've been in it, like, you know, you're dealing with witnesses. And when you understand how that works, you say human beings can't hold a lie together like this and then die. They all died for this thing that it doesn't make any human sense. And people never hear that side of the story, which is why I'm so excited about having you, Daniel Buttafuoco, and this book in front of me, Consider the Evidence, folks. We'll be right back with the Eric Metaxas Show.
What if every Christian discovered that their favorite hero of the faith held to some false and even shocking views? In his new book, Regrace, best-selling author Frank Viola uncovers some of the shocking beliefs held by faith giants like Luther, Augustine, and C.S. Lewis. He challenges us all to engage with fellow believers more graciously, even when we disagree. Regrace is available now, wherever books are sold.
On April 5th, don't miss The Best of Enemies, starring Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson.
I play Ann Atwater, a civil rights activist who was able to approach hate with love.
And Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
All the better, you don't get in my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
If you change one heart, you can change the world.
I had a revival.
And you ought to know, same God made you, made me.
The Best of Enemies, based on the untold true story. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters April 5th.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas for Americans for Freedom of Religion. Have you heard the lie that America's public schools are God-free zones? Do you hear Americans who lament that God, religion, and morals are not allowed in our schools? Politicians and the media have twisted the phrase separation of church and state, insisting that God is not allowed in our schools, but that just is not true. Student prayer was never removed from schools, and the Department of Education's guidelines state that students may pray, read the Bible, and share about their faith as long as it's student-initiated, voluntary, and non-disruptive. But public school students are routinely told not to pray, write about their faith, or even speak the phrase Merry Christmas. Learn more at AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org. Download our video and educational materials to share with your family, friends, and public school administrators. Please consider contacting or supporting this nonprofit religious freedom movement so that we may preserve America's religious heritage. Visit AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org to get involved and support our fight for freedom of religion. AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly and I am debt free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to gogomeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com. GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code Mike2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com. Promo code Mike2018.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's all I can share of that song right now. But you can get the rest of it yourself on another program. Right now, I'd like to have a conversation with my guest, the author of Consider the Evidence, Daniel Buttafuoco. Now, Daniel Buttafuoco, I got to say, this to me, again, is one of the most important subjects there is. When I came to faith in 1988, I read a book called, by F.F. Bruce, called The New Testament Documents, Are They Reliable? Tiny book, transformed my life. I know, just from reading the back of your book, that you acquired a copy of the 1560 Geneva Bible, which was the Bible that the pilgrims were reading from in Netherlands and whatever. And you got into this whole thing because you got this lawyer's mind. So tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I love the idea of looking at the manuscripts because this is when it becomes history. This is not speculation. This is history.
Well, it's remarkable to see how the Bible was preserved. You know, you have people today that write books like Misquoting Jesus by Bart Ehrman, which basically makes a big fuss over stuff that we've known for centuries, that namely the Bible has some copyist errors in it, which is a very simple thing. If I asked you to copy the Bible, if I asked everyone in this room to copy the Bible, we'd all make mistakes at some point. The thing is, we all wouldn't make the same mistakes. So when you correlate and compare all the copies, we know exactly where a scribe fell asleep, skipped a line, whatever, changed a pronoun. And so, you know, really it's about 40 lines of the Bible that are in dispute. And I think that Bruce actually says that. Well, Philip Comfort also says that. But the point is that we have a very reliable manuscript base for the Bible. There's over 25,000 manuscripts, ancient manuscripts for the Bible. I actually have one in my possession from 1040. I have an original Greek manuscript Bible.
Now, if you say that on the air, are they going to come and get you now?
No, it's actually legal to own.
Oh, it's legal. All right. I just want to check. I know you're a lawyer, but okay, so you have one of these manuscripts. Now, what you just said, again, unless somebody knows a little bit about this, it doesn't mean anything. When you say there are 25,000 copies that people go, okay, now you start comparing it to what we have of Plato, what we have of Thucydides, Herodotus.
Well, Homer.
Homer, ancient documents, and you start realizing that if somebody is serious about history and they know all this and they're atheists, I would say they would be scared by this evidence. This evidence is staggering evidence from a historical point of view.
Right. The documentary evidence for the New Testament is frankly overwhelming. The New Testament was translated in every known language by the year 500, pretty much. And in 500, unfortunately, it was only allowed in Latin until about the year 1500. And that's a whole nother discussion. But the next closest rival is Homer's Iliad, and is only about 1,000 copies. And the interval between when Homer wrote and the earliest copy of Homer is something like 2,500 years. Whereas with the Bible, we're in the same generation.
Let's think about that, right? Because this is another big point that I learned from F.F. Bruce and from other, you know, apologetics writers, that when you're talking about, we talk about Homer and we talk about the documents and this and that, but no one has ever seen a manuscript of Homer anywhere near to when he would have written it. But we have New Testament documents from very shortly after the apostles died. You know, that's an extraordinary thing. Again, if you're looking at it with the mind of an historian to try to determine what you have.
We may actually even have an autographer from the Book of Matthew in Magdalene College, because they redated it using modern techniques. It comes right down to the time when Matthew was alive. So we have...
Say what?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot. There's
and
a
what,
lot
did
of,
you, what did you call it? An autographer?
The autographer is the actual original manuscript that when the apostles or the writers of the New Testament first put pen to papyrus or sheepskin. And so they've redated some of these earlier manuscripts.
And this is in Magdalene College, Oxford.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
That's C.S. Lewis's college. That's the only reason I remember that it's not pronounced Magdalene. But that kind of stuff, again, most people never hear about this. So now you write about this in this book?
I mentioned it briefly, and I get the citation for where I got that from. But when I wrote the book, I tried to make it in a very readable form for the average person.
Did you succeed?
I think so, because
good.
One of my skills as a trial lawyer is to take stuff that's complicated right. and to break it down so that the average juror can understand it.
Right.
All the studies say that we're supposed to aim for someone of a high school education. So much of what's in the book has been around for centuries, but the problem is the scholars are up in the stratosphere
yeah.
talking these things to each other,
yeah.
and it's not filtering down to the plumbers and the cops yeah. and to the
yeah.
housewives.
Yeah.
So I'm used to dealing with jurors, and what I would regularly do as part of being a trial lawyers take complex subjects like medicine and engineering and break it down so the jurors could understand. And I try to do that in this book. I wanted it to be readable. I wanted it to carry people along so they wouldn't put it down. I could have easily made it triple the size. I have a lot more material.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get something out there so that people could use it, because primarily I'm concerned with people's souls, not with showing how smart I am. That's not my goal.
Now, is this written on a low enough level that like a news anchor could understand it?
It depends on the news anchor.
Okay.
But yes.
Well, I think, you know, I write books, too, as you know, and I think it's very important to understand that there's a role for popular writing. And sometimes academics sneer at popular writers. But I think that there's, we need academia to do a certain job. But then people like us need to translate what we see and communicate it, because as you're saying, 25 years ago, you get in this debate and you're realizing, like, I can't communicate this. And, you're a brilliant lawyer, and all of us should be able to somehow explain part of why we believe what we believe. I mean, I've written a number of books on this subject as well. Everything you always want to know about God, but we're afraid to ask and stuff. But in this book, you're very specific from a lawyer's point of view, talking about evidence. So let's talk about eyewitness evidence. So when you say that, what do we mean?
Well, okay. I drew a comparison between the Bible and the Quran. I drew a comparison between Muhammad and John, the beloved. You know, the major difference between Islam, and it's a big difference, but it is on the issue of Jesus. Who exactly is Jesus? In Islam, it says flat out in the Quran that he was not crucified. In the Bible, in the New Testament, it makes a huge point of Jesus being crucified. It's also in the Old Testament, prophetically. So
Excuse me. I've never heard this. I love when I learn something that's like so huge. You're telling me that the Quran says Jesus was not crucified.
It actually says, say not that he was crucified, for they crucified him not. Later Islamic teaching of Islamic scholarship goes on to say that Jesus was made to look like Judas was made to look like Jesus, and the Romans crucified Judas in his place. And while this was happening, Jesus was in heaven looking down and beholding the whole spectacle.
The Quran says this.
The Quran does not say that. Later Islamic teaching says that. But the Quran does say, in the words of Muhammad, that Jesus was not crucified, which then means one of us is right and one of us is wrong.
Albin, cancel my Islam membership. I can't believe this stuff. This is unbelievable.
Right.
Seriously, though, most people never hear this.
And it's a big issue now, because we all know some wonderful Muslim people, and we're concerned for their souls. And, you know, we want to be able to debate them in a loving and in a respectful manner. But I have to point out to them that one of us is right and one of us is wrong. So then I do a simple trial lawyer analogy. You know, John, where were you on the night of the crucifixion? And John's like, well, I was right there. I saw the whole thing. And did Jesus say anything to you from the cross? Yeah, he said, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. And what do you think he meant by that? I think he meant for me to take care of Mary while he was gone, and that's how I took it. So let's do the same thing with Muhammad. You know, Muhammad, where were you on the night of crucifixion? I wasn't born for 600, 700 years. So, you know, that wouldn't even be allowed, that testimony. We don't presuppose in the Bible mystical knowledge of the facts. These are very much eyewitness accounts. Now, you could take them or leave them, but you can't deny that these are purporting to be eyewitnesses.
Well, that's why when people talk as though rationality is not compatible with Christian faith, they clearly don't know what they're talking about. I mean, the more you know about the kind of stuff we're talking about, even if you don't want to believe, you start to squirm because the evidence is just practically overwhelming. I mean, I have to say that in my own studies on different things, I just almost laugh because I think our problem is getting this information out to people. The information is, it's like slam dunk times a thousand, no matter where you look. I mean, you're talking about the manuscripts, the eyewitness people, whatever, archaeology, it goes on and on and on. But we're living in a culture that just kind of assumes the opposite and rarely, you know, if Charlie Rose still had a show, he would not have you on to talk about this because they just don't go there. And so most people don't hear about this stuff. Folks, I'm talking to Daniel Buttafuoco. The book is Consider the Evidence. I hope you will consider the evidence yourselves. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is calling for an investigation into those who initiated the Russia investigation. Meanwhile, the president holds a rally tonight in Grand Rapids, Michigan. New York suing the billionaire family behind OxyContin, alleging the drug maker fueled the opioid crisis by putting hunger for profits over patient safety. The announcement comes 2 days after Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family agreed to pay $270 million to Oklahoma. The former women's soccer coach at Yale University expected to plead guilty to taking bribes in exchange for pretending applicants were athletic recruits. Rudy Meredith is the latest among nine coaches at elite universities charged in what authorities have called the biggest college admission scheme ever prosecuted. And in medical news, surgeons in Baltimore have performed what's thought to be the first kidney transplant from a living donor with HIV. This is SRN News.
Following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. Reduce your interest and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
You know that I've been watching you for quite some time, trying to find a way of making you mine. Long before you started coming on strong with me,
I I gotta be honest, I was aware that I've been acting like a movie star, but we don't have time to get into that right now. I'm talking to Daniel Buttafuoco. The book is Consider the Evidence. Before we get into that, I want you folks to consider giving to Food for the Poor. If you go to MetaxasTalk.com, we're doing a major campaign. The folks in Haiti are suffering. If you want to give to an organization that we have vetted that uses the money wisely and that is already there doing what they do, all they need, by the way, is the money to do it, and that's where we come in. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com as soon as possible. You'll see there all kinds of things we want to give you as a thank you for giving. But really, this is important, and they need our help. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com and check it out. Daniel Buttafuoco, Consider the Evidence. Have you written anything like this before, or is this the first time you decided to go in a direction like this?
It's interesting. I wrote an essay for the Pocket Testament League, and it went viral in China. Who knows how this happened, but it ended up that one morning I woke up and my wife was reading it on her laptop, and she says, "You got to read this." And I was like, "What is it?" And she says, "Some guy wrote this fantastic essay, and it's right up your alley." So she's going on and on. I said, "Is it good?" She's like, "It's really good." So I let it go, dig a nice hole.
This is the sweetest story I've heard in weeks. And so you've got your wife on the hook.
She's going
and you're playing her in here. Yep. And at what point do you reveal that the writer of this genius article is in bed next to her?
Well, she didn't believe me when I told her. I said, that was me. She's like, "He did not." So anyway.
But you know, that's how in a legal world, I know that's proof that she's your wife, because anyone else would have believed you.
Exactly.
But only our wives would say, "Come on,
right?
You didn't do that."
Well, anyway, she's a big supporter. But I have to tell
I'm glad to hear that.
But it was that actually did go viral. It went viral in China for some reason. And I realized that in China, where a lot of people are coming to Christ, something like 30,000 people a day coming
what?
To Christ. Yes, yes, there's big stuff going on. That they don't have a Judeo-Christian context, so.
Right.
You know, like, what's a Messiah? They don't even understand the legal concept of guilt, and it's more of a shame culture, and they don't really get the legal guilt before God. And I'm not saying that that's universal, but it's a different way of looking at the whole situation. They don't know what a Messiah is. They don't understand Judaism, for the most part. I'm generalizing. So I wanted to write something that would have an impact there. Also, my mother-in-law, who's a piano teacher, has many Asian students. They'll come into her studio and they'll see the Christmas tree, and they'll say, "What's this?" And she's like, "Well, it's about Christmas." They'll say, "What's Christmas?" And she's, "It's about birth of Jesus." They'll say, "Who's Jesus?" I mean, it's that much lack of knowledge. So I sort of wrote that first essay with that in mind, and now I've written this book really as an expanded version of that. As I said, I have a lot more material, but I wanted it so that people could read it on the train. They could just pick up some handy tidbits. Because as I said earlier, you know, when I came to Christ as a very young child, my mom, who was not real educated, but has a lot of wisdom, handed me the Bible and said, "This is the word of God. Build your life on it." And I did that. But then later on, when I got older, I said, "Well, what if she's wrong? You know, what if it isn't? You know, I mean, it's a nice book. It has the ring of truth to me, but what do I know?" And so you start embarking on your own verification study and journey. And that's what I ended up doing and sort of culminated with this. But I still have a lot more material.
I hope you're going to write more books, because we need this kind of stuff. And you're obviously brilliant. The smarter people are, the more I tease them about, you know, being related to Joey Buttafuoco, because you are so, you kind of crack me up even as you're talking now. I realize, you know, you're one of those legal minds that you see things a certain way. It's a gift. And we need you to lead the rest of us, in a sense, in how to think about this stuff. Because I'll tell you the truth, you know, when you talk about some Asian person not even knowing what a Christmas tree is or who Jesus is, I think there are a lot of people, for example, in our culture, in Western culture, raised in places like we were raised, they don't really believe in the concept of truth. We've lived in a pretty much postmodern culture since the 60s, where when you say the Bible is the word of God, it's true. This version of things is true. This really happened. I think there's an assumption, a huge assumption, that I just can't believe that anything is really true. Like, there's truths everywhere, but the idea that this is true and this is not true, and what you do as a lawyer is you force them, like with the Quran saying Jesus was not crucified, and the New Testament says he was crucified, you help people to understand you really have to think about this. You can't just say, well, whatever. It can't be whatever.
I actually cover that. I touch it in the book. You know, we get into what is truth. And I do mention the, what you just said about the postmodern culture. You know, truth is that which comports with reality. You know, and so we have to approach it in that way. You know, I might want to believe that my car will run on lemonade, but no matter how much I want to believe that, it's not going to work.
That's as crazy as believing socialism could work.
In the same
actually,
way.
nothing's that crazy. I'm going to go with the lemonade. But seriously, this is such a serious subject. And as I say, the more I study, the more I understand that we have the evidence is just sick. Like it's huge. And it must have been amazing to you when you did, you know, your initial investigations.
Well, what I found, and this is, I think, a really important point, we don't have one slam dunk argument for the faith. You know,
right.
Everybody wants
right.
that killer smoking gun argument.
Yeah.
Every lawyer loves that, right?
Yeah.
But what we have is sort of a mosaic. It's sort of a jigsaw puzzle. Like, you were 100% right before. There's so much evidence, but they're all little chunks. And when you put all the evidence together and you put the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together, what emerges strikingly is a portrait of Jesus Christ.
Let's leave it there. We're going to come back. I want to pick up on that very important point. Talking to Daniel Buttafuoco. Stick around.
Tell me, Gracie, how does it feel?
Alvin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go, let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Have you tried digital marketing but don't know if it's getting you customers? Got different companies running your web design, social media marketing, and geofencing, but not sure which is working and which is a waste of your dollars? Contact us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. We can put all your digital marketing under one roof, give you monthly reports on results, and instantly move your dollars to the most effective areas of your digital marketing suite. Social marketing, geofencing, web search enhancement, event targeting, and more. Now there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI.
Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com, connecting you with new customers.
What if every Christian discovered that their favorite hero of the faith held to some false and even shocking views? In his new book, Regrace, best-selling author Frank Viola uncovers some of the shocking beliefs held by faith giants like Luther, Augustine, and C.S. Lewis. He challenges us all to engage with fellow believers more graciously, even when we disagree. Regrace is available now, wherever books are sold.
Unplanned, based on a life-changing true story.
My name is Abby Johnson. I used to be the director of this clinic.
The Daily Wire says Planned Parenthood is not going to like it.
America wants abortion, which is why we exist.
Glenn Beck says, you have never seen anything like this.
We've managed to make an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
Unplanned, in theaters March 29th. Visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Rated R due to graphic scenes not suitable for children.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, he, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now. That music. That's the devil's music. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to the author of Consider the Evidence. A trial lawyer examines eyewitness testimony in defense of the reliability of the New Testament with a foreword by Ravi Zacharias. Now, Daniel, you know Ravi. All right. Now, he seems so smart. Now, is that an act or is that real?
Ravi's a great guy. I love Ravi. He was my professor.
I noticed he didn't answer that question. Did you know, Albin, did you notice that? No, I know Ravi. He's like super genius. I'm teasing you. But he's a client of yours.
Yes.
That's funny. That's funny. So how many times did you get him out of jail? Huh? Be honest.
Well, we never discuss
You can't discuss that stuff. All right. I know the answer is four. Okay. Seriously, this book, Consider the Evidence, I know that you said you have a lot of other information besides what's in this book. So you have to be thinking about writing other books.
Yes. One of the things I want to supplement the book with is when the writings of the New Testament were made. I think there's a very compelling and strong case that can date these writings at a very early date, certainly before 70 AD. And I think that point of view is starting to become more and more widespread. You know, typically, when they date the New Testament, they focus on grammar and stylistic things, but that could be skewed for a lot of reasons. I think the most compelling, and this is a slam dunk smoking gun argument, the slam dunk argument is that no writings of the New Testament mention the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which is a historical fact of such monumental importance, and especially in a Jewish context where, you know, it's still to this day mentioned at every Jewish wedding when they break the glass as celebrating the temple being destroyed before they yell Mazel Tov.
In 70 A.D., Jesus predicted it 40 years earlier. And I got to say, I have never heard that before. This is another one of these things. I have to have you on more often. I'm getting smarter by the minute. That point is huge. You're right. That is absolutely a huge point. I've never heard that before. You come on the show and you tell me, yeah, if this stuff was written after 70 AD, which so many liberal scholars say, how is it possible they wouldn't mention the hugest event in Judaism?
Let me take you further. In the book of Hebrews, the entire book of Hebrews is a treatise about why we don't no longer need animal sacrifices. The writer goes to great lengths to say Jesus is the mediator of a new and greater covenant, and that these other things were types and shadows of things to come, and that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. You might want to mention the ultimate argument. And by the way, Jewish brethren, we no longer have a temple or an altar upon which to make these sacrifices. Isn't that the killer slam dunk argument? How could you forget to mention that? Fact is, it hadn't happened yet.
I was going to say, the author of Hebrews, who I always assume is Paul, but whoever it was, it is obvious that he would have mentioned that. And so that right there, again, you're thinking like a lawyer, which in this case is good. And you know, when you make that point, once people process it, again, I've never heard this before, it's staggering. And it always, whenever I hear something like that, I think to myself, how is it possible that I've never heard this before? I mean, all the apologists that are out there that I love, you know, Josh McDowell and on and on and on and on. Josh McDowell, in his Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he goes over a lot of this stuff. I don't know that he mentions this in there. So you're pretty smart, Daniel Buttafuoco. It's not like they say.
It's street smart. It's a different type of
It's not like they say. You're smart. You can do things. Seriously, it's just that's a huge thing. 70 AD, I mean, we're talking right then.
It's right. It's right when all this stuff is happening, when witnesses are still alive. That's the other big point. I mean, you know, all if these writings are dated at such an early date, it's way too early for legends to develop. You know, they've done studies on what it takes for a legend to develop.
Right, right.
And it's hundreds of years. In the case of, say, the Hindu scriptures, it's taken hundreds of years for them to achieve this legendary status of sacred writ. But with the New Testament, it's not like that. In fact, one other thing in the Bible, I never noticed this before, Peter calls Paul's writing scriptures while Paul is still alive. And they didn't even get along. So, I mean, I have a lot of very smart, very spiritual friends. I wouldn't consider anything they wrote necessarily scripture. It might be good, but it's not scripture.
What about me?
Maybe you.
Okay. All right, please, come on.
But he calls Paul's writing scripture while Paul is still alive. The ink is barely dry on the parchment. And again, this is not necessarily a guy he was enamored with.
So they didn't type it up in those days.
They didn't type it up. There are no videos. But clearly they knew that the minute this stuff was written, it had a special quality to it.
Yeah.
So it was preserved. And you know, you just see stuff like that in the New Testament over and over again. You know, even Paul calls Luke, the Gospel of Luke, he calls it scripture. So these things were recognized to be scripture very early on. And then the witnesses were alive. So if anything they said, and these things were publicized,
I mean, listen,
they could have said this didn't happen.
This is yet another thing that I have never heard before. You just said to me, because I pride myself on knowing a lot of the stuff you're talking about, the idea that they were considering it scripture effectively contemporaneously with when it was being written. Honestly, I have not heard that. That's a big thing.
It's right there in the Bible.
That's kind of astounding. Do you remember where either of them makes that? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I think it's 2 Peter 3:16, I think, is where he says, ignorant and unstable men twist Paul's sayings as they do the other scriptures. But it's more strong than that. I don't have the exact quote.
Right. Well, it's overwhelming. Now, you were talking about manuscript evidence that I've heard about a postage size stamp piece of one of the epistles. I think that's the one you're talking about in Magdalen College, Oxford. And they're, you know, they don't know if it's in from the 40s or something like that. And that is kind of that's crazy stuff. I mean, to have something from when those guys were alive.
We have scraps of manuscripts that are very early. And, you know, clearly we don't have an original Bible from, you know, the first century. But the point we made early is that, like, just like with Homer, you don't need that because there's so much other evidence and in so many other languages that you can easily see that there was a body of literature that existed and that had been copied and the original ones were lost.
When we come back, we just have a few minutes left, folks, talking to Dan Buttafuoco. The book is Consider the Evidence. When we come back, I want to talk about that whole mosaic thing that you were talking about before. And folks, don't forget to go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner to give to Food for the Poor. They need our help desperately right now in Haiti. Please check it out. Do what you can. Thank you.
April 5th, don't miss The Best of Enemies, starring Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson.
I play Ann Atwater, a civil rights activist who was able to approach hate with love.
And Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
All the better you don't get my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
If you change one heart, you can change the world.
I had a revival.
And then you ought to know, same God made you, made me.
The Best of Enemies, based on the untold true story. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters April 5th.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops. Get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is calling for an investigation into those who initiated the Russia investigation. Well, Democrats continue to demand to see the special counsel's full report. Correspondent Jackie Quinn has details.
President Trump, who has a re-election rally tonight in Michigan, says he's glad to focus on his agenda with the special counsel investigation now over.
It was a cloud.
On Fox News Channel's Hannity show, the president called for an investigation into some of the investigators and Democrats behind a secret dossier that became part of the probe.
If we had done this to President Obama, you'd have 100 people in jail right now and it would be treason.
Jackie Quinn, Washington.
The National Association of Realtors says its pending home sales index slipped 1% to 101.9. That follows a 4.3% jump in January. Esserin News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Unplanned, based on a life-changing true story.
My name is Abby Johnson. I used to be the director of this clinic.
The Daily Wire says Planned Parenthood is not going to like it.
America wants abortion, which is why we exist.
Glenn Beck says, you have never seen anything like this.
You've managed to make an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
Unplanned, in theaters March 29th. Visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
I would love to, but I'm kind of busy right now. Somebody talking to Daniel Buttafuoco, but I will do that another time. Consider the Evidence is the book. You said a couple segments ago that what's interesting is that basically there's no smoking gun evidence for the truth of the Bible, but there's tons of little evidence. And when you put the big picture together, if you care about the truth, it's pretty obvious. The problem, I would say, is that God has, by doing it this way, he has allowed people to blow it off. In other words, if you really don't want to, you can just say, because you have to want to know if it's true. And a lot of people, frankly, let's be honest, they don't want to know. They're scared that it might be true. So they're not going to take the time to look at all the evidence. Now, if you were forced at the point of a gun, like, hey, you got to do jury duty, get in there, you got to make a decision, that's different.
That's right. And you make a great point. In other words, a lot of people won't do the heavy lifting to connect all the dots, if you will, to just switch metaphors. But the Bible and the evidence for the Christian faith is very much like a mosaic. There's no one slam dunk argument, as we said earlier. There's a lot of little pieces of evidence, which, by the way, is the way most trials work. If you have ever sat through an entire trial, and I realize the average person hasn't because it's a very time-consuming process,
yeah.
But everything is done with minutiae. And it's little chunks of evidence that sort of build the case. And you keep plugging away until you get a picture, and the picture starts to emerge. And as you fill in the blanks and you fill in the thing, you get in the case of the Bible and the Christian faith, you get a portrait of Jesus Christ. Now, if a few picture pieces are missing, you could still see what it is. That's the thing. You don't have to fill in every blank to see a jigsaw puzzle, for example.
Well, it's a reasonable doubt thing, right? In other words, it looks like Jesus would say, but you're 1,000% sure. And you'd say, well, I don't have reasonable doubt on the subject, if that's what you're asking me. But I think the problem is, and a lot of times scientific atheists make it sound like, well, it's not a falsifiable. You're not using the scientific method. And I want to scream and say, nobody uses the scientific method when you're talking in a court of law. There's all kinds of ways to determine the truth. And the idea that something could be falsifiable or whatever, that's a dodge. That is an absolute dodge. It's nonsense. We don't live like that.
Well, they come in with an a priori assumption that miracles can't happen, therefore they don't happen. And so they view everything through that lens. But you can't discount eyewitness testimony, especially when it's by sane, credible people who were dying under penalty of torture, you know, to believe in and speak that truth. Again, it's putting all the little pieces together, and the portrait that emerges is very clear. It takes heavy lifting, which does give you the out. So if you don't want to know, you're able to dodge it, as you said.
Yeah, you just throw a couple of, like, anecdotes of Christians you know that are hypocrites, and, like, you're done. And that's what people like Christopher Hitchens did. And I have to say, his book, God Is Not Great, I think it was one of the most pathetic books I've ever seen. I couldn't finish it. I said, this is so beneath this man's mind. He was a genius. But it was just anecdotal ad hominem nastiness masquerading as a polemic. I mean, I shouldn't say that it was a polemic, but it was not an honest examination. It was absolutely shameful to me. And I think a lot of what passes for looking at the Bible and Jesus, whatever, in the culture, they get that kind of a pass. And you know what? I just say to people listening, God's not going to force you to look at the truth. But I would be scared to death if I were you, because there is such a thing as truth. I would look at it. I would figure it out. So we're out of time. Daniel Buttafuoco, you have given us a tool with which to do that. It's called Consider the Evidence. You understood, imperative. Consider the Evidence by Daniel Buttafuoco. Thank you for the book. Thank you for your time. God bless you.